Well, hello, here we are on the last final day, JD with Josh, and we've got another great person to join us. I started to say tonight, but it's actually this morning. Nato Jacobson is joining us as we're going to recap the final day of SonicCon 2021. Sunday, you know, it's bittersweet, you know, yeah. I've heard it from several people just in the last few hours of the day. Is it felt like there was a week's worth of interactions and just information all crammed into a couple of days. And it's sad to see it end, but everybody else also exhausted.
Right, I don't know if I could take another day.
So we kicked things off with a couple of masterclasses. Now, Josh and I have been trying to split things and cover as many as possible, but this year Kimmy Robertson came in, and I'm sure the listener knows she plays Pennywise or Pennywise Bassett on Adventures in Odyssey, and so she was here with Katie Lee, and so we both said, well, let's go ahead and go check out that session.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. Let's go watch that.
Yeah. So and we actually got to meet her and chat with her. At least I should say I did. I'm
right.
Assuming you did as well.
I think I took off right after that. I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So that was a good session. They talked about voicinalities. And I love this thing that Katie has come up with. You know, voice acting is not just doing a voice. Mm. It's these are characters who have personalities, and so she calls it a voicinality. Mm. And so that was really fun, really interesting. And she actually kind of built upon some of the things she talked about last year in her class. Cool. So that was how the day started off for Josh and I.
Yeah.
What about you, Nato?
Well, I was sleeping when that started.
Good call, Nato.
I had a rather crazy day yesterday, so I was trying to catch up on sleep, and then came in for the next session that was right after that. So you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so the next one was with Rob Paulson. I'm not even sure how to say Randy's last name.
Rogel, I think.
Rogel, something like that.
Yeah, and Maurice, so they are the Animaniacs guys. They did a class and did a Q&A afterwards. I did miss this because they had actually opened up the exhibition hall at the same time, so I went in there. So,
It was almost entirely a Q&A in a sense.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say, Josh?
Yeah, it was. It was really interesting. These guys are these three aren't in the audio drama industry, but they're in animation. But some crossovers and some
of the principles can transfer.
Yeah, for sure, and some really interesting backstories.
Yeah,
pretty encouraging.
Oh yeah.
You know, one of I think it's Randy is like a West Point graduate, and he was an officer in the military, and just got a crazy story.
Yeah.
In Hollywood, producing cartoons, and the other two guys had a way totally different background.
Right. Right.
But just fascinating to see their path, and you know, really successful in the animation world, but it really came down to hard work, right? Hard work and connections seem like is what they would say that was their success. It was good. It was a good look into their lives, and it has really cracked up.
Oh yeah, fans. Those guys are hilarious.
Yeah, they're so
talented. It was a very meaningful time. Yeah, I really appreciated it.
And then that was followed by another hour of exhibition hall time, and so that was really my main focus today because yesterday. Saturday was just jam-packed. It was nonstop for me all day, and I really wanted to make sure I took time to just connect with more people today, and so that was my main focus. So, yeah, I just spent a lot of the time out there just, you know, talking and getting to know some people that maybe we communicated with via email in the past, and now it's a chance to actually talk with them. So had a nice conversation with Thomas Scott, who listeners may know from Lamplighter Theater Productions, and I've got to chat with a few other people, you know, actually not just a lot of people. And so some of them were recorded, and you'll be hearing them on the podcast very soon. But was there anybody in particular that you connected with today that stood out? Or?
I connected with someone we're very familiar with, Michael Touche. I did ask him a little bit about his new project coming up. I don't have anything to talk about tonight, really, but it's going to be a good one. It is going to be. It's going to be pretty epic, and I'm hoping he can get it together sooner rather than later. He's really excited about it, and it's going to be something to look out for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, that was really cool. Didn't give me too many details. I'll just be honest.
Yeah.
Just what he did give was like, oh, this is going to be something really good, really good. So. There were some others just wandering around the exhibition hall. This year is really set up well. It was a nice large room, plenty of room for, you know, to with the tables and everything, and it seemed like there was a lot of really great conversations going on there. So
yeah,
really
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've already said this, but that was one of my favorite things about this year is how there was so much more time for the networking, because last year it was one session after another, and they built into the schedule this year
multiple designated times
to just connect, and I really appreciated that.
Which is probably the biggest benefit of this convention.
It's the highest value.
It's probably two. There's learning, and then there's connections. But I think the connections and networking is probably the highest one. It's and it's really awesome. And I was talking about, I think it was Kara.
Kara O'Brien.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the SonicCon and everything, and it is well worth the price of admission. You come here, you'll have exposure to individuals you never would have thought you would have in the audio drama space. But tonight we went out to dinner. I sat right next to Phil Waller. I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I thought I would have any access to him. And you just everybody else. We're sitting with Nando Jacobson right now, JD, and it's pretty cool. We were talking to him we had a really good conversation here in the lobby. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You got to get here if you're interested in audio drama. You just got to be here.
Yeah, it's interesting how, because I've done quite a bit of work on the film side over the years. And you can, if you get into the production side of things, you can hop around onto film sets and get connected with people in that working environment. But an audio drama, it's such a different process of production that you can't usually, I mean, maybe there are some sort of backdoor opportunities, but like, it's not the same kind of thing where you could just hop on a production as a production assistant or, some kind of,
maybe the exception.
Well, which I really appreciate about Lamplighter. Yeah,
that might be the only one. I mean, you're certainly not getting into an AIO recording session,
right?
That's just not going to happen.
Exactly. So an event like that's I think an event. I'm just so grateful this exists, and I'm really hoping that they're able to do it in future years, which is I think a little up in the air right now, but like. If they can do it again, next year, like it's a particularly high value event for audio drama because it's almost impossible to get connected in that same way into it unless you do it through something like the Lamplighter Guild or Lamplighter Theater Live or something like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And as you said, all of these people are here in one place, and this is the chance to and I think you said in it was either in one of your classes or in your keynote it was in the Q&A after your keynote that the people are just so friendly in this space and you can reach out and ask questions and they're willing to be there for you and help. It's great. And so that happened a lot today. And then we had the main focus, I guess, in the afternoon today was with John Fornoff and talking about the adventure of Psalm 23, which was really cool. And he shared a little bit about his story and how scripture has been impacting him lately.
Yeah.
And he's just such a cool guy.
Yes.
And he knows how to encourage people with every interaction, I think. But just in the way he presented what he was trying to get across, and it seemed to resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that.
That's great.
And then we moved really quickly right into the New Works Festival, which that, yeah, and there I'm losing our schedule here, but that was amazing. That was really, really fun.
That was.
So they did four productions this year as opposed to last year when they did three. Mm-hmm. And I really liked all of the productions this year. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a lot of strengths in all of them. And our very own Josh Rodriguez was the one that capped off the event. Yeah. And it was a hit. It was definitely a hit.
Yeah.
Yours truly, Johnny Denari.
Too much fun. That was just too much fun. It was a lot of fun.
And Nato got to play.
Yes.
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny Denari. Role. The star.
It was so fun. I mean, everybody was just rolling. It was so great.
Yeah. And that was a blast. Yeah, and it was a real privilege for me to be on the feedback panel for the first three shows with John Fornoff and Phil Lawler.
Yes.
And a little bit of imposter syndrome for me, but certainly just a cool opportunity to be able to listen to those with that hat on, because I'm not used to doing that. That's not something I normally just am listening as a fan.
Yeah.
And so that was a unique learning experience for me, was like having to, like, you know, my brain was reeling a little bit having to do the work of like
critiquing.
In the moment, having in time, exactly. To like let it soak in, but be like, make notes in the moment.
Well, talk about imposter syndrome. I know exactly how that felt, because that was me last year.
That was
I was on the panel with Phil Lawler and Katie Lee. And so I'm like, so yeah, I know how you feel. Yeah. But because I mean, I've been reviewing stuff and giving critique for a decade at that point.
Yeah.
But never like at that moment of right after hearing it, mm-hmm. It's always listening two or three times through and making notes and formulating coherent thoughts and sentences and stuff. So yeah, it's tough to just pull it right out and Phil is so good at it. Goodness.
Yeah.
And then so when you had to switch places, you ended up on the stage with the last one up there with Josh's production. And then so Darby Kern stepped down and also shared his feedback on that one. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was.
I love the New Works Festival. Mm. Seemed like they had a lot more submissions this year than they had last year. But, of course, it was the first year. So, mm-hmm. Everything's going to get bigger and grow with each year. And I think overall, there were some critiques for every one of the productions. All four of them had some things that were suggested that could be worked on. Mm-hmm. But overall, I thought all four of them were really, really well done. And I would like to see all of them continue on in some form and become publicly available shows, So it was fantastic. And then we come to the final, final event of the entire weekend. We had Fort Blanket Review, and that was just so fun. Mm-hmm. Phil, Kimmy, and Katie doing a live Adventures in Odyssey episode and mixing in it with some of the content from Katie and Will's show, Tell You Later. And go ahead, Josh. Just, what do you think?
I mean, this is a little inside baseball. So I was in the green room. So I didn't get to really hear very much of the New Works Festivals, because I was in the back.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of going back and forth.
Right.
So when I went back there the last time, Katie was back there.
Mm.
And she was sitting, and you could tell she was nervous to go on stage, which after 30 years of performing, you would think at some point you'd not be nervous. But it's just natural. And so we were talking just a little bit about it, and she said something about, I can't remember what it was, but... said about going out there and not being very good or something. I was like, hey, you could just go out and stand up there and all these people are going to love you, right? Because she's Katie Lee. She's Connie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost true. She could just go up there and riff, and it would be great, because she's just so natural. She's just a natural entertainer is what she is. She's just a good entertainer. Mm-hmm. And then her and Kimmy have this chemistry that they just, especially, I don't know if you noticed, I'm sure you did, in their masterclass this morning.
Oh, they just play off of each other
it's like
so well.
They're lifelong friends, but I think they've known each other for a decade.
Well, just since she started working on the show.
Right, yeah, right. But it seems like they were in kindergarten together. Yeah. And they just like, they fit together like a glove. It's
well, she even said, we share a brain sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Said, it is so funny. And then Phil, with his long history of, you know, of Odyssey, and he's just a great performer as well. Mm-hmm. The three of them together, and it was good to see Will Ryan up on the screen. Wish he could have been here. That would have been incredible.
Yeah, yeah, we missed you, Will. We missed you.
Mm-hmm. We sure did. But even seeing him on the screen with his ukulele, I mean... And had you guys heard their theme? Well, they're not a theme song before.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That is hilarious. It was just great. It's just good to see them up there together and you know, cracking jokes, doing the live show. Mm-hmm. Everything an Odyssey fan can really hope for, you know, just super, super fun.
Yeah, well, speaking of Phil's talent, you know, so they did Search for a Sunflower, that episode, which was written by Abigail Geiger. Mm-hmm. And so Phil is doing... Some like narration to kind of transfer from scene to scene because there's no sound effects and no
he's just reading
music.
Description lines.
Yeah, yeah, and so he's doing that, and then he's also playing Jacques Henri. He's playing
Tony was the name of
the guy who ended up with the paintings or whatever. Basically every male character in that episode.
Whole house.
Yeah. And I was just, it just was so impressive to me how, I mean, he got the affectation down exactly how that character is played, how these other actors play these characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just so good.
I don't think it would have been any better if the characters were actually here. Because he was each character, and I mean, it was great. It was he was just perfectly moving from one to another, and it was Phil. You know, Phil's awesome himself. Yeah, it was so good. Their dynamic, their chemistry, and everything is just so wonderful to see.
Yeah, then a lot, you know, the fans love whenever they get to ask questions. So they did a few questions from the audience, and I know that last year that was some of people's favorite things was just getting to ask. Phil, that last year was just Phil and Katie, and so getting to ask them questions. But
the Connie getting married topic came up. It didn't come up last year in the Q&A.
It did?
No, it did not come up last year. Wow. But I think Phil led with that, if I'm not mistaken. He maybe wanted to get that out of the way because it always is a question.
Yeah,
but maybe. Connie's never getting married. Let's put that to rest.
We got kind of. Continue the Q&A at dinner too, which was really fun.
Yes,
you know, and you guys were there for that, and just getting to dig into more stuff with Phil, and that was just such a an honor, you know, for me to get to sit across from him and to personally thank him for co-creating the show that shaped my life more than any other piece of entertainment.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So that was a really special time for me too, because. Just first of all, it was just fun to just be there with all of those people, you know, and thank you to Russ Jones of Abide for inviting us.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
such a great guy.
Just a wonderful time, and a lot of great people there. But yeah, just getting to sit there and listen to Phil and John and you know everybody just talking about all this amazing stuff and then just out of the blue, just Phil. Saying to me that he appreciates ATC and the Senecas and stuff, I almost started crying. I mean, it just made my day because it was just to hear that from as you said, his work has been so influential to me, and so I told him, you know, this is it has impacted me from a very very young age. I mean, I think about certain Bible stories that you know you hear about you learn them in Sunday school or whatever, but then you know sometimes hearing them in an Odyssey episode it kind of changes the way you maybe perceive that story and it makes it a little bit clearer or something like that or even as things as mundane as just vocabulary just picking up on things that you heard in an Odyssey episode as a kid and so it's just it has really you know helped to shape who I am as a person today. And so I'm very appreciative to Phil. Yeah. And so that was just awesome. A really cool moment. And
it was from this side, seeing what you've done and the impact that you've had. I know you don't like to hear that sometimes, but it was really cool to hear Phil tell you that.
Right.
Because I'm glad he recognizes that, because he, I mean, we're here partially because of you at SonicCon. You had a big part in this, and you, I know that Chris Nelson at Liberty University, you know, really respects what you do also, and so it was super cool to hear like the audio drama dude, right? This is Phil Lawler, yeah. like saying, hey, you had a big part in all this, and he really
applauded JD for seeing a gap or a void,
yeah.
You know, seeing a need,
yeah.
and doing the hard work to yeah. to sort of pioneer something that would fill that. So definitely a high compliment indeed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was very appreciative of that, and of course I can't take all the credit. I've got to shout out Roy and Andrew, mm-hmm. who unfortunately yeah. couldn't be here, but
I wish I could have met those guys.
It was, you know, because, I mean, our listeners have heard the story, but, you know, it was just we would be getting together to work on other projects, and every time the conversation would come around to audio drama, and we'd end up not even getting to what we were supposed to get to, and just talking about that one radio theater that we just recently listened to, or whatever mm-hmm, it was, and mm-hmm. so, you know, it was finally one night I just said, guys, we need to start a podcast, we need to do this, and Sarah Kymig, she knows the story. It was right around the time when she was wrapping up the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast. And so I said, there's a gap now because their show was really, really well known among the fan community. And then Lamplighter Theater had just launched the previous year and was just really gaining steam.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, let's broaden it a little bit beyond Odyssey and let's start bringing in these other family friendly. Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be explicitly Christian, but family-friendly, clean entertainment that we as families can consume. And let's focus on all of this. And that's how it started. And our first episode was all about Lamplighter Theater. So, yep. And now here we are 11 years later. So,
awesome.
So cool.
And we had an amazing, amazing SonicCon.
We did.
After the dinner, then we got to go get ice cream again, like we did last year.
Yeah, that was good.
And just chat a little bit more. Yeah. Darby Kern, Randy Strew, Kara O'Brien, Kimmy and Katie and Phil, and Nato and Nato's parents. Who else? Micah Touche. I'm probably missing somebody, and I apologize.
Connor.
Oh, yes, Connor Savoca.
Yeah. Connor.
Yeah. So I think we've pretty much covered everything for today, and I think we're pretty much done in. It is nearly one. Looks like one about 1:30 in the morning, Monday morning, and we've got a flight in just a couple of hours. So,
oh my goodness!
You know, we had a blast.
Yeah,
we had a blast, and thank you again, Josh, for coming along.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it so much.
My pleasure.
And thanks for joining us, Nato. This has been great.
Thanks for having me.
We had a really great conversation, as Josh referenced a moment ago. And I'm just excited to see where things are going to be going.
They're going up.
Yes.
Yep. They're going up.
That's right.
On the way up.
Yes, all right. Well, thank you for listening. And, you know, there's going to be more content from SonicCon coming on the podcast feed. This is our final episode like this. And again, these are just recorded on the fly, no editing, just posting it immediately. So forgive any verbal fumblings.
Sorry.
But thank you. And we've heard from several of you that you've been enjoying these. So thank you. And if you want us to do this again at other events or SonicCon next year, if we're able to make it, then we'll do it again. Because I actually enjoyed doing these.
Yes. And,
so.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Nato.
Thank you.
Thanks, JD.
All right.